Lass an deine Brust mich fliehen, da die Wasser näher rauschen und die Wetter höher ziehen. Oh, wie gut ist dir Vertrauen, Jesu dir ergebe ich mich, selig droben dich zu schauen, dein zu bleiben ewiglich. Berg mich in den Lebensstürmen, bis vollendet ist mein Lauf. Führe mich zum sicheren Hafen, nimm denn meine Seele auf. Oh, wie gut ist dir Vertrauen, Jesu dir ergeb ich mich, selig droben dich zu schauen, dein zu bleiben ewiglich. Andere Zuflucht hab ich keine, sagen hab ich nur auf dich. Lass, oh, lass mich nicht alleine, hebe her und stärke mich. Oh, wie gut ist dir Vertrauen, Jesu dir ergeb ich mich, selig droben dich zu schauen, dein zu bleiben ewiglich. Nur zu dir steht mein Vertrauen, dass kein Übel mich erschreckt. Mit den Schatten deiner Flügel sei mein wehrlos Haupt bedeckt. Oh, wie gut ist dir Vertrauen, Jesu dir ergeb ich mich, selig droben dich zu schauen, dein zu bleiben ewiglich. Gnade um Gnade, wolle Sehnung, sind in dir, o Jesu mein. Lass die Heilig mich bestreben, nimm gereinig mich hinein. Oh, wie gut ist dir Vertrauen, Jesu dir ergeb ich mich, selig droben dich zu schauen, dein zu bleiben ewiglich. Du bist ja das Lebensquelle, die den Durst auf ewig stirbt. Sei der Born in meinem Herzen, der zum ewigen Leben quillt. Oh, wie gut ist dir Vertrauen, Jesu dir ergeb ich mich, selig droben dich zu schauen, dein zu bleiben ewiglich. Without him I could do nothing, without him I surely feel, without him I would be drifting, like a ship without a sail. Jesus, oh Jesus, do you know him today? Please don't turn him away, oh Jesus, my Jesus. Without him, how lost I would be. Without him, I would be dying. Without him, I'd be enslaved. Without him, I would be worthless, But with Jesus, thank God I'm saved. Jesus, my Jesus, do you know him today? Please don't turn him away, oh Jesus, my Jesus. Without him, how lost I would be. So I'll ask him to be my pilot, his word, my comfort and guide, till I'm anchored safely in glory, for without him I drift with the tide. Jesus, my Jesus, do you know him today? Please don't turn him away. My Jesus, without him, how lost I would be. As my Lord walked to Calvary, there was no beauty in that scene. He was bruised and put to shame there, as the crowd just cheered and screamed. It wasn't his fault for the things he'd done, but for my sins he stood condemned. Now how could I be ashamed of him? How could I be ashamed of that side dripping with blood? How could I be ashamed of that mocking crown that he wore? Though he had every reason to be ashamed of me, I could never be ashamed of him. Now he's the same Lord today, with his nail pierced feet, and there's no beauty that this little world desires, and his holy word it won't keep. But I'll take him and the scorn I'll bear till my journey is complete, because I could never be ashamed of him. How could I be ashamed of that side dripping with blood? How could I be ashamed of that mocking crown that he wore? Though he had every reason to be ashamed of me, I could never be ashamed of him. Now he's the same Lord today, with his nail-pierced feet, and there's no beauty that his whole world desires, and his holy word it won't keep. But I'll take him and the scorn I'll bear until my journey is complete, because I could never be ashamed of him. How could I be ashamed of that side dripping with blood? How could I be ashamed of that mocking crown that he wore? Though he had every reason to be ashamed of me, I could never be ashamed of him. How could I be ashamed of that side dripping with blood? How could I be ashamed of that mocking crown that he wore? Though he had every reason to be ashamed of me, I could never be ashamed of him. Though he had every reason to be ashamed of me, I could never be ashamed of him.
To that level of maturity, that you're not ashamed of Christ, that you're not ashamed. See, we're not ashamed of what you're doing here. A lot of people, they're ashamed of us, but because the thing of it is, we're not ashamed of We're not ashamed of Jesus. That's what that's what I saw one day, is John was kind of getting discouraged, and Jesus said back, tell John, and then he said, blessed is he that is not ashamed of me. Blessed is he that's not offended in me. You, John, you're in that prison because of me. And I saw that blessing. I wanted that blessing. So all you got to do is not be ashamed of Christ. There's nothing to be ashamed about. Let people mock you if they want. That's that's something that we can hold our head up high because we're not ashamed of Jesus. Mm-hmm. Why should we be ashamed of it? That's the devil trying to make you ashamed of Jesus. You know what Jesus then defeated that idiot.
It says he had every reason to be ashamed of me. How could I be ashamed of him? There at the cross of Calvary, he took on the sins of all humanity. And he had to bear that shame. And then people are ashamed to do something for the Lord.
That's a level of maturity. We're not ashamed. Because we matured, eh?
It's always a place that I wanted to come to, but it doesn't just come.
Yeah, you gotta work at it. Once you're not ashamed of Christ, let them mock you if they want. That's their business. They're not of God. They're led by the devil. The devil tries to, and then the devil tries to intimidate us to be ashamed of the very one that gave his life for us. We're not ashamed. That's why they mock us. That's why we're the outs, you know, because really at the bottom of that, end of the day, it's the devil that entices them to be ashamed of Christ. Because the devil knows that's where he got defeated, you know, right? When they mocked him and they did whatever they did there with him, well, we're not ashamed of it. I would rather live for him more than anything I know, more than houses and land, a wretched unto, than to live in this world and lose my soul. I tell you, my friend, I would rather live for him more than anything I know. You may wonder why I choose to live this way, and you may wonder how I make it through the day. When I found the answer, when I fell down on my knees, I would rather live for him more than anything. Oh, I would rather live for him more than anything I know, more than houses and land or riches untold, than to live in this world and lose my soul. I tell you, my friend, I would rather live for him more than anything I know. All these worldly things, they will ruin and decay, but it don't matter, I don't need them anyway. For my treasure is over somewhere on the blue. I've given him my everything, now it's all up to you. Oh, I would rather live for him more than anything I know, more than houses and land or riches untold, than to live in this world and lose my soul. I tell you, my friend, I would rather live for him more than anything I know. All these earthly things, they will ruin and decay, but it don't matter, I don't need them anyway. For my treasure is over somewhere on the blue. I've given him my everything, now it's all up to you. Oh, I would rather live for him more than anything I know, more than houses and land or riches untold, than to live in this world and lose my soul. I tell you, my friend,
I would rather live for him more than anything I know.
I know the Lord will make a way for me. I know the Lord will make a way for me. If I live a holy life, shun the wrong and do the right, I know the Lord will make a way for me. I know the Lord will make a way for me. I know the Lord will
make a way for me.
If I live a holy life, shun the wrong and do the right, I know the Lord will make a way for me. I know the Lord will make a way for me. I know the Lord will make a way for me. If I live a holy life, shun the wrong and do the right, I know the Lord will make a way for me. We can say, I know the Lord has made a way for me.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, without him, we couldn't be doing this here thing.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a sacrifice, you know. You got to make a sacrifice. You got to fight. You want something, you got to fight for it.
That's right.
If somebody hands you on a silver platter, you're not going to fight for it. That's why we got what we got. That's why we're not ashamed of Christ, because we had to fight for it. Every inch of the way.
Right.
Terminated, ousted, treated like a vagabond. That's all good and well. Now we know what we got. Now we got something we're fighting for.
Mm-hmm.
The world, they don't have nothing. They just when they die, they just go out to hell and death. It's just that simple. Because they don't want to fight. They don't want to bear the reproach of Christ. That's the bottom line. That's the end of the day. That's what this is about. You examine yourself, you know, just examine yourself. I used to be ashamed of Christ. I used to be the reproach of Christ. But see, Moses, back in the day, he chose to be, he saw the reproach of Christ for what it is, for greater wealth than all of Egypt. He could have had all of Egypt if he would have stuck it out, you know, because he was a heir to the throne, and he didn't want it. He wanted to be identified, to be identified with Jesus. He wanted the reproach of Christ more than he wanted all the luxury of Egypt.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we did. We did want that outright thing. Because we know what it was. It was just a farce. And then as time went on, we began to realize who's behind that whole commerce back there in that colony. There's a lot of wealth there and all. You had it made, you know, and all we had to do was keep our mouth shut and not say nothing and go along to get along. But I saw the corruption in there and I began to speak out, and then at the end of the day, you're going to do what the devil does to people that don't support him. He shunts them, he throws them out.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, we're in a good journey, we're in a good place.
Mm-hmm.
How we got here is immaterial. The thing of it is, we got here somehow. And do you have any regrets? What would you do different? Well, when it comes right down to it, no matter what I did and what I didn't do, we got me to a good place.
Mm-hmm.
You and I were in a good place.
Mm-hmm.
How we got here, it doesn't matter. As long as we got here. And, So, that's where we're at. You got to make a sacrifice. You got to get up in the morning. You got to pray in the day. You gotta humble yourself. That's what it is. It's humility.
Yes, it is.
It's all, if you're ashamed of Christ, it's because you're too bloody proud, you know?
Right.
That's all it is.
And that's why a lot of Christians are ineffective, because they're actually ashamed of Christ when it comes down to it. And we walk through this journey, and we know that being ashamed of Christ, that is just the devil's way of making you not be fruitful.
It's a roadblock.
Uh-huh, that's right. And it takes a while to identify what it is and then to overcome that hurdle that's right in front of you, because being a natural man, you know, you still have to overcome these things, you know. Why do you do certain things the way you do? Is it because you're ashamed of Christ? You have to really analyze yourself and your life. What is it you stand for? What is it you live for? You know, you really have to put it through the analyzing
database and everything.
Mm-hmm. And see why you're not being fruitful, why you're not being productive. And a lot of times it's simply being ashamed of Christ and what other people say about you, what other people think about you. What are they going to say? Well, if you do it for the sake of Jesus and the gospel, it doesn't matter what people say about you.
Amen to that. I just kind of want to go continue with that. They that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and truth. And then you tie on to, it's impossible to worship Him in spirit and truth if you're ashamed of Christ, because mm-hmm. you're going to run into and all kinds of roadblocks. Mm-hmm. And then, like make your calling and your election sure, because if you know your calling, of course you're gonna be, people will be ashamed of you, and if you're offended in Christ, it's a roadblock, you know. So we're free, you know. We're not ashamed of Christ. We're not tied to no religious diabolical system, and we're free to do exactly what we're doing here. And then once you're free, then you gotta make a sacrifice. It's a sacrifice. Like, how many people are you gonna find on planet Earth if you put your radar on, if you went and checked, that will get up at early in the morning? I know there are some people that do, because I heard them on the YouTube. See, they're up. Some of them, they get up at 4 o'clock in the morning and spend time with the Lord, and then when they go to work, they're all charged up for the day. And that's what the Lord moved on me to do. It's not that I decided one day to do that. It's just the Lord moved on me. He compelled me to get up in the morning and to sing these songs and to start your day with prayer. It was directed by the Lord, because He would lead and guide you with His eyes if you can only get yourself to a place to be obedient. And see, this is not our thing. We keep saying, this is the Lord's thing. This is not our thing. But within, there's a sacrifice to make. You have a choice to make. If He compels you and you do it, because I never did want to do my own thing. I was always afraid of my own thing, because I see the danger it is when you do your own religious thing. Like, I read the Bible back in the day, and I found out what Cain tried to bring to the Lord. He tried to do a good thing for the Lord. It brought these flowers and all that kind of stuff, a great bouquet, everything just hunkador, and the Lord didn't look. He would look at it, but mm-hmm. he looked at Abel's. Abel made a sacrifice, and that's what God is looking at. You have mm-hmm. to make a sacrifice. You and I, we have made a sacrifice throughout life. And like I was telling you, when you were up to 18, 19 years old, you decided, you were asked, what are you going to do with your life, Ryan? Well, I'm going to see what the Lord has for mm-hmm. me. It's a sacrifice. You didn't want to go down that marriage path. How many girls are you going to find that want to make that kind of a sacrifice, you know? When you come up to a certain age, the women, they want a family. Just like back in the days of, you know, the story about Yiftah. And he said, we was out at war, and he promised the Lord, Lord, if I'm going to win this war, I'm going to sacrifice the first thing that comes out of my house when I come back. I'm going to sacrifice it. Mm-hmm. He taught his little dog. He had a little pet dog. So he was hoping that dog would come out to meet him. And here his daughter came out to meet mm-hmm. him. And it's not what he expected, but he had to keep his vow, mm-hmm. you know.
That's right, and that's a holiday that Jewish people still celebrate today.
It's a very sad day for
mm-hmm.
him, too.
Mm-hmm.
And you can just feel it. But he had to go through with it.
Uh-huh. Yeah, he made a sacrifice, and he didn't know that it's going to be that price. But
see, what she did, I used to think he had to kill her, you know, mm-hmm. sacrifice. Mm-hmm. But no, what happened is she decided exactly what you did when you're up to a certain age. You decided voluntarily, out of your own free will, I'm going to see what Jesus has for me. And she's, now that he had made that vow back when then that he ate the guy, well, then his daughter said, well, you're just going to have to keep your vow that you made to the Lord. And mm-hmm. she had to go out and, she never did get married.
Mm-hmm.
She decided that's what she's going to do.
That's right.
You can read the story.
And a lot
serious
of people.
Serious stuff.
Uh-huh. And the devil likes to make you feel like, you're really missing out. You're really when you walk through it, you know, the devil likes to, try to intimidate you that, you should get married, because he uses a lot of people to kind of always kind of harass you.
Oh, like, yeah.
Did you find a boyfriend yet? Did this and that and the other? You have to really know why, what you're standing on,
yeah.
To not let it get to you, because the devil knows where you're weak, and he can, because he knows the weakness of the human nature, and he knows where a person is weak. Every human being, they want to marry and have children, right? It's just an inbuilt thing, and then he will throw everything at you to make sure that you never really fulfill your calling.
Yeah.
And that's, and you just have to stand on what you have felt the Lord lead you to.
Yeah, he prepared you for that. You know, you're going to someday come up to a certain decision. That's why he prepared you when you come to that crossroad. You will make the right decision. Mm-hmm. Same with me. When I came up to a crossroad in my life, I knew that when I was younger. Someday I'm going to go up and have to tackle that religious system. I just knew it was something built into me. And then he prepared me over the years, and the day came when he let me know, saying, you're going to lose everything. If you do what I tell you, remember, you're going to lose it all. And that's exactly what happened when I went up against them. Told them they're corrupt and everything like that. You know the story. Don't have to go over it again. And at the end of the day, that's exactly what happened.
Mm-hmm.
You lose it all. But it's mm-hmm. a sacrifice. And that we're only here for a short period of time.
Mm-hmm.
70, 80 years. They didn't compare that with eternity. Man, 11, I sometimes think we're doing so little, you know. I'd do a lot more if I could, you can't do nothing, even if you want to. I got myself into trouble lots of times by trying to run ahead of God, trying to be helpful. That's the nature of the beast. But anyway, we just want to continue on. Heavenly Father, we just want to stop for a moment in time, Lord, and look to you, look into your word, Lord, to see what you're going to have for us today. Help us to express the things you would allowed us to see in these closing days of time, Lord. Help us to express the thought that you've, that the things that you've allowed us to see and we're going through in life. And we just pray that, let you know, Lord, we're just so grateful that you have used us for your honor, for your glory, because we can realize now when we look back, we could have never made it without you, Lord. And we just pray you just continue to do it as you see fit, because there's so much responsibility on us that we have to put something out there that's valid, something that's real, something that'll stand the test of time. At the end of the day, you're going to want that stamp of approval from you, Lord. That's all we're living for. We don't have nothing on our own. We could never come up with nothing in these closing days of time. You brought us to the ministry of Brother Branham and Brother Jackson. You gave us that ISAF. You allowed us to be dressed with that gold trident in the fire and all these things, Lord, you did for us here. And these closing days of time, and we take inventory and we look at ourselves, Lord, it was just your mercy and your grace and the sacrifice that we had to make voluntarily, Lord. And we just pray to just continue to do it as easy fit. Lord, most of all, I pray you'll open the hearts of the people that they'll be able to understand what you're trying to say here. If that increase, in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah, there's so much in that. Spirit and truth, like I was saying the other day, yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
If you just have the spirit, you're opening yourself up to the spirit world. Believe you me, out there, there is a real world, and it's a spirit world, but it's of a demonic nature. Just like Paul said to Timothy, in the last days, perilous times will come, like we're seeing the other day, lovers of self more than lovers of God, seducing spirits and doctrines of the devil. The whole atmosphere is charged up with these seducing spirits. And once you have the spirit, these spirits, they can invade you. That's exactly what happened to me back when the Lord saved me. I thought, wow, what a wonderful world. Little did I know that I had no compass, I had no radar, I was just open to the spirit world, and the devil, that he loved that, and he can invade you, and you think you're actually doing God a service. That's what these religionists out there do. They actually kill you and think they're doing God a service. These preachers, they thought they're doing God a service when they terminated me, when they took away everything that I had. And see, they're spirit, but they have no compass. They don't use the Bible as a compass to direct them. They have spirit, but they don't have truth. If they would have had a truth, they would have looked in biblical history. See, they're doing exactly what they did back in the Dark Ages to all these martyrs and all these people that were butchered and slaughtered down through the ages, and they were doing the very same thing. Like I say, they don't have the truth to keep them in line. See, that's you and right. I, we have the spirit now, and now we have the truth, because the Lord, through our trial and error, one day he brought us to the ministry of Brother Branham, because there's a scripture laying there, behold, I send you Elijah the prophet. And I was still empty, I was still searching, and then the Lord saw my search and my desire, and he knew up the road he's going to get me in an encounter with that prophetic message, with the ministry of Brother Branham. And then once I got introduced to it, I just went like back in the day, I just went hell-bent for leather. There's nothing that could stop me from telling people about this wonderful thing that God did send the prophet. And to this day, that's my song and dance, because therein, that I know what it did to me, and I know it set me free, and I know that's what I wanted. And then it led me to the ministry of Brother Jackson. Without Brother Jackson, the ministry of Brother Branham is obsolete. It's got no meaning whatsoever. You're out there because we see it. And all these Benhamites, we see exactly what's become of them. It's become another cult. No matter how you dress it up, no one, matter how you pretend it's not so, without the ministry of Brother Jackson, the ministry of Brother Branham is incomplete. Because he can't, and he cleaned everything up, the dual statements and everything. And once I got to know that, I was off to the races.
He fine-tuned the picture.
Yeah.
Like if you look at an artist, like first of all, he just puts in the formation of what he's going to paint, mountains or stream or trees or something. But Brother Jackson came along and he put details into the picture. Like other than that, otherwise it was just a vague picture when Brother Branham left the scene, because there was so many things that were left unsaid, and Brother Jackson, he completed it, and that's why we have the understanding that we have in this day and hour. There's massive deception out there, and Jesus did say, take heed lest any man deceive you. And there is such mass deception out there. And like, if I would not have come to the ministry of Brother Branham and Brother Jackson, then I would be out like the rest of the people being deceived, because that's really what's going on, is they are being deceived. And you can see it all around, the deception. First it came in, first it was in the church world, the deception, because of they rejected the prophet. America and the churches of America, they rejected the prophet and his message, and that brought in that deceptive charismatic spirit was able to take over. And now everything is infiltrated with deception, like even with your phone, like if you get text messages, you get calls, and offering you a phone plan and stuff like that, and so many other things that they've now come up and defraud Americans for their money, that they even now have a special group of people that go after these organizations that are defrauding America of their money. And it's becoming so, they even have to open up an investigations in order to put a stop to all this fraud that's happening. Like, they lure you in, and there's usually people that are lonely, that they are really greedy for money, and then they offer them this much money, and then they just fall for it. See, that's the deception that is out there. First, it was in the church world, but it now has infiltrated every aspect of society because of what the churches did. They let the devil in the door with not going with the program of God.
Yeah, but not being sober and vigilant. If they would have been sober and vigilant, see, that early church, they were sober, they were vigilant. They were on to Satan tactics, and the Bible says so. We're not ignorant of Satan's devices and his cunning, crafty fables and all that. They did, like, they were on the ball. They were sober, they were vigilant. And I got a lot of people I got to know when I was 3 years with the Brenhamites, and they think when I told them about Brother Jack, they thought I'm doing the unpardonable sin, talking about Brother Jack, because the message people, they have branded Brother Jack as a blackbird. And if you have anything to do with Brother Jack, you're completely in the outs. You're just like the Hutterites. When I found the Lord moved on me to step up to the plate, and then I would put me in the out. And the same thing with the Brenhamites. They put me in the out because I believe in the ministry of Brother Jack. Well, that's their problem. That's not my problem. I got fed when I came to the ministry of Brother Jackson, and then off to the races we went. And then finally, as time went on, the Lord was, I didn't realize that that's what's going on, but see what the Lord was doing. He was going to test me. He tested me back in the day to see if I'm going to stick with that word. And we have stuck with that word, and we found out that God sent anointed Brother Jackson to continue on with that vocal cord of that angel. See, that angel is still here today, but he's using you and my vocal cord to continue with the program. This is the last chapter of the last piece of the puzzle, exactly what we're doing here. This is the final chapter of that, of the Grace Age thing, and we have hope for people. We can tell them exactly where it goes from here. Here is now the invitation to the marriage supper of the Lamb via the Scripture, because you and I, we know that the Grace Age is over. It's October the 15th, 2021. Now, we're only got 3 more years left until Jesus sets up his own kingdom, and then that stone, that vision that Daniel had, he saw that mighty stone come down and demolish all these other kingdoms. That's just 3 years from now, when the kingdoms of this world will become the kingdoms of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You know, a lot of people, they don't know the program, but see, through the ministry of Brother Branham and Brother Jack, we begin to see the program, and everything is open and clear for us. Now we can go back and we can sit back when God had that council with himself and he made his big blueprint, and we're right now just right at the closing days of all that big blueprint that he made, and we're right now where it says that invitation to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And then when that's expired, God always keeps moving ahead. Then he moves ahead to that, blessed is he that dies in the Lord from henceforth. And the invitation to the marriage supper of the Lamb will be over, and we're going to go into the rapture. And I don't know just how all that happens, but it's going to happen because the Bible says so. And you and I, we have trained ourselves to go via the Scriptures. That's where we got that midnight cry from, and that's why the Lord found you and I faithful to the Word of God. When they put the pressure on us to recant and to all that stuff, no, we saw it in the Scripture. We're not going to be ashamed of Christ. We're going to see what the Scripture says. And then, like I say, when I went to the ministry of Brother Branham, and then I found out God sent that Brother Jackson to continue to work for Brother Branham, and then I of course, I got a lot of ridicule. I was put in the house from the Brenhamite, but that didn't stop me because I saw something in the Scripture. I saw that word begin, and the days of the void, when he shall begin to sound. He began with the vocal cord. That angel of the church, later, began with the vocal cords of Brother Branham. And then when he dies, he couldn't use the vocal cords anymore. And it's all hidden away somewhere in the scripture. I saw that word in the days of the Lord when he shall begin. He only began. So that if he begins with something, there's something, the reason that word is because he's going to continue with somebody else. And then, like I say, when Brother Brenham died, God, that angel used the vocal cord of Brother Raymond M. Jackson. And he's still going today. Brother Jackson and I, now he's using you and I by the mouth of two or three witnesses. This is very, very detrimental in these closing days that there's not just one voice. That's you and I. We see the same thing. We hear the same thing. We're on the same frequency. And now, by the mouth of two or three witnesses, let everything be established. And then the angel is using us to continue with the work that Brother Brenham and Brother Jackson, they started with them. And now we're just... Like I say, it's the finishing touches. Mm-hmm. You're at the end of the race. It's the end of the day, because when it's done with us, with our vocal cord, there comes, that angel has done his job then, and off we go to the rapture, to the marriage supper of the Lamb. It's just that simple. God has a program. God's stuff makes sense. He did a lot of thinking. He put a lot of effort in that program that he made, and he said he's gonna see to it that blueprint that he made, that counsel that he had with himself, is going to be executed right to the T. There's nobody going to stop it. When the time will come, when the fullness of time came, that program moved ahead, and there was that angel standing beside Mary and introduced what's going to happen. And it's the same thing today. When the fullness of time will come, that rapture will happen. And we're just putting out, we're just laying out the program and the platform. We're just more or less reading the blueprint, telling the people about the blueprint. And I know it's going to happen because you can put your trust in the Bible. You can just put your trust in the Word. And we're just continuing on from living it, doing exactly what we're honed out to do, to be a watchman for the people that the Lord put us in charge. And you can't be a watchman and go out there and do your own thing. That's why it's so important to be led by the Spirit of the Living God, Spirit and truth. What we're telling people is 100% the truth. Just because people don't accept what we're saying, that doesn't alter the fact that it's the truth. And then once I found that out, that this is the truth, that is that Isaiah of the church age of Laodicea, that the Laodicea is blind, wretched, naked, and poor. And then the Bible says, I counsel of thee to buy of me gold. There's got to be gold out here somewhere if the Lord Jesus advises people to buy of him gold. Where is it? Well, it's in the ministry of Brother Brenham and Brother Jackson. It's that ISAF, to clothe yourself and to buy of me gold tried in the fire. That's what we found out, and we're not stopping. We're not going to be intimidated because we've come too far to turn back. And the devil, he'd like to stop us if he could, but you just keep yourself sobered up and vigilant and on fire for the Lord, and that's why it's so important to get up in the morning and make a sacrifice. You got to make a sacrifice. You got to fight for something if you want something. If it's handed to you on a silver platter, like I keep saying, you're not going to respect it. Mm-hmm. You're just going to do what back in the day when my son, he came up to, he came, I picked him up from the colony, and then as time went on, he's growing up, he's getting 15, 16, 17 years old, and so I went and got him a driver's license, and then I was going to buy him a truck, you know, just go out and buy him a truck, give him a truck. And the Lord came to me, and I don't, you gift that boy that truck. If you gift that boy that truck, he's going to hate you for the rest of his life. He's got to go up and earn his own thing. If you give him something on a silver platter, he's got no respect for it. And I told him that, well, I bought you that truck, but I'm not going to give it to you because the Lord let me know if I give you that truck, you're never going to get nowhere in life. He's handed on the silver platter. But if you fight for it, now he's got his own business going. He's got two or three trucks or something out there, and he's got his own thing going. But he would have never gotten nothing if I would have just handed him, you know, mm-hmm. on the silver platter. And that's the way it is with this here truth. We fought for it every inch mm-hmm. of the way, and that there's no devil in hell that's going to be able to divert us and try to throw us a curveball.
There's always a sacrifice to make and a condition in many things, and God opens it up. Like that rich young man that came to Jesus. He came to him, and he ran up to him and knelt down before him and asked him, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. He went on to tell him, you know the commandments. Do not murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Do not defraud. Honor your father and your mother. And he said to him, Teacher, all these I have kept from my youth. And Jesus looked at him, loved him, and said to him, You lack one thing. Go, sell all that you have, and give to the poor, and you will have treasures in heaven, and come follow me. Disheartened by the saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions.
Mm-hmm.
See, there's a sacrifice, and he just couldn't give that up. And that's why a lot of people, they can never really enter in, because they can't give it their all. This young man, he kept all of the commandments that was necessary, but there was something he knew he was lacking.
Mm-hmm.
And the really thing that could have really entered him into that kingdom was to sell all his good and come and follow him, Jesus. And a lot of times it's being ashamed of Christ.
Yeah.
And they just cannot get into that dimension where all things are possible. And there is a place where all things are possible in Christ Jesus. But in it, there is a sacrifice to make.
You got to continue with it. We got to make a sacrifice every day.
Mm-hmm.
Like, freely. It's not a sacrifice anymore, because back in the day, when the Lord moved on me to do that, to get up in the morning, it was a sacrifice. I had to drag myself out, but now I don't want to go start the day without getting up and praying. And everybody can do that. What we're doing, we're just trying more or less. We don't tell people what to do. It's up to them what to do. Like, it's up to you and I to be obedient to the Spirit of the living God, because it was the Spirit of the living God that moved on us to do exactly what we're doing here. But you got to be obedient.
Mm-hmm.
What good is if the Lord would compel me and I would be disobedient? Like I say, I don't want to do my own thing. I'm waiting on the Lord to direct us, to show us what to do and what not to do. And all our life, we ever since the Lord put us on the journey, we went to the Lord. I got up at 6 o'clock in the morning to pray in the day. And then the Lord would show me what's going to happen throughout the day. Back when I was interrogated from these Hutterites, when they came around trying to interrogate me to go back to the compound and all that, the Lord let me know early in the morning what's going to transpire throughout the day, who's going to come, what method they're trying to try to use to intimidate me and to lure me back into the compound, into the system. Because once you're in there, the devil has control of you, no matter how good you paint it up. And the Lord wanted me to be free. And in order to be free, you got to get away from these religious systems. And they're all the same.
Mm-hmm.
And so once I left the colony, I found out the Pentecostals are the same. And then eventually the Brenhamites are the same. It's just another religious cult. And when they hear me say that, they think I'm blaspheming.
Mm-hmm.
They think I'm doing the unpardonable sin. But see, it's all just, if you don't move on in God, if you don't believe the message for your day, because God is always moving ahead. Like we keep saying over and over again, it's no use going back building an ark, because that had its time frame. Back in the days of Noah, it was the thing to do. Get an ark and get in that ark. And then as time went on, he used Abraham and the move. If you look to biblical history, you can see exactly what we're saying is 100% accurate. God is always moving on. When Brother Benham was here, it was the thing to do. People came from all over the world to listen to him. And then when he goes off the scene and God is shifting gears and he's separating the wannabes, the believers, from the unbelievers, he needs to separate. Just like when the fall, when it comes to combining, he separate the chaff from the wheat, and the wheat goes in the barn, and exactly what he's going to do in his closing days of time, he's going to separate the chaff from the wheat. That's what's been going on the last 100 years or so. That's why he brought in, Brother Brennan brought in church order. The Lord allowed to bring in church to separate.
Mm-hmm.
There's too many hang-ons. There's too many make-believers. There's too many people that are just playing the game. And then God brought church, allowed him to bring in church order, and you know the rest of the story. And then here, Brother Jackson goes off to see what happened when Brother Jackson left to see. God took that whole anointing. We were all one unit. when Brother Jackson was here. There was nobody that could come in with false doctrine. There was nobody that could come in with tell you you're in the third day. It was only after Brother Jackson left to see, all of a sudden Ellen comes in, we were in the third day, the other crew comes in after 2 days, the other crew comes in with something else, and now it's not even fit for doctrine, the stuff that they're teaching. But see, the Lord rich in mercy, he gave me a dream what's going to happen when Brother Jackson left the scene. He's going to make minefields out of it. All these preachers that were sitting under Brother Jackson, they're going to make his ministry of Brother Jackson into minefields, and they're going to destroy everything Brother Jackson ever taught. Now when you look back and you watch and you listen to them, and you see what they're doing exactly what that dream that I had. They're making minefields out of the ministry of Brother Jackson. You can't trust them. I don't trust none of them. I don't even list them. I just sometimes watch what they have to, what kind of title they have. But like I say, it's not fit for a dog to eat. It's not, nothing but tempers of fun, because it has no value for the hour we're living. God has moved on from Brother Brad. God has moved on from Brother Jackson. And now the invitation is on to the marriage supper of Philadelphia. If you can only get yourself to a place where you can believe what we're trying to say here, see, I'm now God will make sure that you're at the marriage supper of Philadelphia. I don't know how it's going to happen, just like he did with Rahab. He told Rahab, bring your whole family in, and we'll make sure that your house doesn't get destroyed. And he's the same principle. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And that's exactly the way he worked in the past. He's going to work in the same way here with people. All you got to do is believe what we're saying, and somehow God will make a way. All you got to do is not be ashamed of Christ. Not be ashamed of Sam and Lorraine. People are ashamed of us. They don't want to be identified with us. But as time goes on, you're going to see how valuable it is what we're trying to say here.
Heavenly Father, we just want to come before you and give you thanks for another day of life, for everything you've done in our lives, Lord. All we ever wanted, Lord, was to find our place in Christ, Lord, that our life would have a purpose and a meaning at the end of the day, so that we can have something for eternity, Lord. And that's all I ever desired, is that my life at the end of the day will have a purpose, and that you can use me according to your will and way. So we just pray, help people to understand that they're, in order to walk in your ways, Lord, there is a sacrifice to make, and people oftentimes cannot make that sacrifice, just that, like that young rich ruler, Lord. So we just pray, Lord, help people to understand and to give them the understanding and the wisdom and how to go about things, Lord, and give them the ability to not to be ashamed, Lord, of the truth and the righteousness for this day and hour. We just want to give you thanks. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.